Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Weekly Daily Podcast. My name is Chris, a.k.a. Necronominoms. Joining us, as always, is our co-host, Beckner.
Beckner. Hello, everyone. How are you doing?
I'm doing good. How are you? It's hard to keep these fresh, you know? Eventually, you run out of weird ways to say your name.
True. That's fair.
Yeah. Especially after a year of doing this.
Yeah, which is crazy.
Yeah.
Maybe a year and a week. I don't know.
I think it's been a year and a week exactly, actually, which is weird. Actually, no, I think it's been a week and 5 days. I'm sorry. Either way, it's been about a year. It's been fun. Yeah, it's been interesting going through all the motions of setting this up and getting it together and getting it up and running.
I agree. It's been different, like podcasting, like stuff we've always wanted to talk about.
Yeah, I mean, it's one of those things where we kind of started just to talk about gaming, and I've always had an interest in getting a little more in depth with the news side of things, and it's nice to just be able to stay on the pulse, so to speak.
Yeah, so like you said, it's been a year. So, well, like, I don't know how to do like a year in review, because that's essentially what we're doing.
Yeah, just auditing our podcast after a year.
Auditing it, yeah.
There's not much else to say about it. We've had some fun. For the future, we're looking to kind of switch things up a bit, I think, which is why this podcast, even this episode, is going to be a little different in that it's probably going to be a little shorter, and we're not really going over any news today. We just wanted to start off by talking about our year, and then we are looking to try some new things. Mostly because I don't have any problem saying this on the episode, but like no one listens to us. And so it's like part of it is like when you go through news, it turns out news is very depressing. And it just kind of sucks to go through it knowing that no one's listening. And it's like, why would we put ourselves through that? That depression that comes with the news.
Yeah, to get into it a little bit more, like the idea of like the part of the podcast was just like talking about the news of things that aren't like they're talked about, but we just wanted to like focus on them for like our news sections, which is just like worker situations in the news. How essentially one that came up a lot was like Blizzard and how people are being treated when in gaming. And like, are people being paid enough? People are being harassed, and it seems to be everywhere and rampant, and it always has been. And it's depressing talking about it, which that's true for any news cycle, I imagine. Because I know anytime I've watched the news, I'm like, I don't like to watch the news because it's depressing. So we knew what we were getting into, but it's even more depressing whenever it's like we do all this research. Well, you do a lot of the research for that, and it's just like no one's really listening.
Yeah, you only get like two people listening a week, and it's like, why would we want to put ourselves through that when we're getting minimal results? Not just that we're looking for the listening of it, but like we're looking to get more attention on the subjects. And if we're not accomplishing that, then what's the point?
Yeah, that's a better way to explain it. Like, it's just these things that we felt could use attention, just people aren't listening.
Yeah, that being said, there's also there is also just other stuff we want to try out. There's plenty of ideas that have been floating around. I think like the next probably couple months are going to be shifting ideas as we go through. I know the first thing that we're going to be doing is actually related to the upcoming AGDQ coming up, and so we had an idea of what we want to do. I don't know if you wanted to tell them about that, Beck.
So for Games Done Quick, GDQ, it's a speedrunning event. And I've been watching it for like, I don't know, 10 years or something, maybe around that. And what we wanted to do is we wanted to talk, get into speedrunning ourselves, just attempt a speedrun of like a game that we felt is doable, and talk about our experience learning like glitches, speedrunning techniques, just beating a game very quickly. And we felt it would be in season to do it around GameStone Quick, because people every year, it seems like people will get into GDQ and be like, I don't know what that is. And they're like, oh, it's speedruns. And I think it's a fun news topic to get into.
Yeah, I think it's a really fun idea, because I've never actually tried to speedrun something, and I don't expect to get anything amazing as time-wise. I would just be interested in seeing if it's possible to take one of those games that I've played that took, you know, like 20 or 30 hours a beat, and see if I can beat it in like an hour, you know? Like, that would be exactly an accomplishment.
Yeah. Personally, for me, whenever I was a kid, I quote unquote beat some games fast, where like there were some games that I played where, like, you know, as a kid, you only have so many games, especially if you're poor, and you're just like, I'm going to just play this game again. And then you beat a little faster because you've already beat it before. And then you just keep, sometimes you'll come back to it every so often and be like, I'm going to beat it fast again. And for me, that was Pokemon Red, where I got to the point where like I could do it in a few hours. And I was just, I never knew that speedrunning was a thing, however many years ago that was, probably like 15, 18 years ago, whenever I was doing that. So that's how close I've gotten to like speedrunning. I guess some other games I did that as a kid would probably be like, there's a Kirby game that I played a lot as a kid that I beat frequently. I think it was Kirby Dream Land for like DS, not DS, Kirby Game Boy. And there are some games that we've played in recent that are just built for speedrunning, so that you are intended to beat them over and over. So that would be like Hades, where you're supposed to play that game a bunch of times to get all the story. Every time you beat it, you'll get new story. So that's like just built-in speedrunning, because you do it a little faster every time, right?
Right. It also has built-in tools, which I actually didn't know much about Hades speedrunning. I actually did boot it up because that was one of the games that was floating around in our list of games. We're looking at a few different games and focusing on the ones that are accessible, ones that are have good communities for it, ones that are easier to do, or that are easier to like look up material for. I actually booted up Hades and turned on the in-game timer. I didn't realize that the gods respond to you turning on the in-game timer.
Oh, really?
Yeah. I had Hermes pop up, and whenever I went and picked up his boon, he was like, "Oh, hey, I noticed you got a little timer going there." I was not expecting that. That's really cool. And like, it makes sense, because when you look at the speedrunning for Hades, like the developers mention so much that they like put all these tools in, and they are very intent on helping out the speedrunning community as much as they can.
That's awesome.
Yeah. But we had a few ideas. I don't know if we've officially decided on one. So I'm kind of just like looking at the ones we got and just like trying to boot up whatever I can and mess with it and see what feels good.
Yeah. So some of the ones we were talking about was a game like I felt one of the easiest would be a Pokemon game, because I make fun of people for playing Pokemon games like this, but like a fast way to beat a Pokemon game, especially like Red or Blue or any of the earlier ones, even the ones now, I guess, was to just use your starter and overlevel it. Like, it's literally just pressing A, the game.
Yeah.
So I thought Pokemon would be pretty easy. I don't play Pokemon games that way. I just like to challenge myself in them and like use bad teams and Pokemon that I just like but are actually not good at doing things. But that's a, like, we could just do that and probably beat it within a few hours. And all we had to do would be doing is learning menuing, which menuing for speedrunning is trying to get through the menus quick enough. There could even be a step count, but I feel like I'd mess that up.
Yeah, I think It would have to be the older ones to me, because just from what I've seen with like some of the newer games, like post, I don't know, 2005 or whatever, those games, when I see speedruns for them, they seem to have people with this like encyclopedic knowledge of Pokemon that like know all the stats for every single thing everywhere and like how to respond with that with specific items or like abilities. And that's not something I have for Pokemon. I am always learning new things in Pokemon. I still don't know all the Pokemon. Like when I was playing Scarlet, when I was playing Scarlet, I didn't know which Pokemon were new. So like I had to look, because I explicitly wanted to play Pokemon from this generation, but I had to, when I met a Pokemon I didn't know, I had to look up if it was from this gen or not, because I was like, I don't know these Pokemon. There's so many Pokemon I don't know.
What was one that you like saw that you're like, is this new or not?
I mean, just any of the ones that are new, obviously I didn't know if they were new or not. So like there was like the Salt Rock one, NaCl, whatever his name is.
Yeah, I guess more or less I was asking like, which one did you think was new or one that you didn't know, but it turned out was like an older one?
Oh God, I can't remember. I'd have to go back in my my boxes and see one that caught me. Because I don't remember rightly. And that's the problem too, is like, even if I did remember, I wouldn't know the Pokemon, the Pokemon's name. There's just too many Pokemon. I don't know.
Yeah, like for me, obviously knew them all, cause I'm very active as far as like, I love Pokemon. I'm not gonna say I know them all by name, like, especially like this newest generation, but like, I definitely would know if something was new or not. But like, I know our friend, he specifically picked one of the games because it had Dragapult, which is from the previous generation. It was the previous generation's dragon.
Yeah.
And he's like, oh, that one's got that Pokemon. And I don't know if he knew it was new or not. Like, he said it, and I was just, it was like, I didn't say in the moment, but I'm like, I wonder if he knows if that's new or not.
Yeah. I think one that I remember was, like, those deer Pokemon that, like...
Deerling?
Yeah, I think so. The one that has, like, different seasons and stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah, I didn't know for sure if that was new or not. And especially because there were like just a bunch of different versions, which is another thing, was like, I didn't know there are a few of those Pokemon that have like different colors and different like variations. And I couldn't tell if it was a shiny or not.
That's fair.
I had to look up if it was a shiny. And that was especially like, I had to look that deer Pokemon up four different times before the four different seasons. Because I was like, is this one a shiny? Like, I didn't know. But the point is, I don't have that knowledge of Pokemon to be able to know, like, what natures offer what stats the enemy has that I need to negate by using this X defense at this time or whatever. What is optimal between using an item or using an attack or, like, using a boost or using an attack. That's a lot of different math and innate knowledge for the game that I don't have and cannot attain in the next month.
I feel like with even like a newer Pokemon game, you could probably play it pretty fast if you just used your starter, like without even any knowledge. Like if your goal was just to press A the whole time, you would just have an overleveled starter. You wouldn't have to do like the super speedrun text of just like, my Pokemon's level 30, I'm trying to fight a level 50, I need to know when to use X defense or X attack.
Yeah, I imagine
you'd be fairly safe.
I imagine it would be overleveled. I do think that there are a few trainers in the newer game that have just like surprises that you're not ready for. Like there are some where I feel like they are harder than I would have had a hard time with, like in like Red or something like that. Like there are some, like I think the majority of it is still easy, but there are some that just catch you off guard if you haven't done it before.
Yeah, probably. I would say the reason to not do like newer games for me is that like some of the newer games just have a bunch of extra like dialogue at the start, and like where it's just like you're not actually like playing the game, you're just pressing A because like someone's talking to you for a really long time.
Yeah, it's a lot of like tutorial and fluff.
Yeah, I forget which games it were, but there's, I know Sun and Moon was like kind of notorious for having like an hour long like intro or something like that. Where like it doesn't even let you kind of like free till after you fight like the first kahuna, I think.
Right.
Maybe. Or interact with them. I can't remember how it went, but I just remember it being really long the entire zone. It's just like, I just want to go. And yeah, so that's like probably a reason why we'd probably stick to like the first few games if we did Pokemon. Like we said earlier, other options would have been like a Hades.
Yeah, Hades is one
which
where
we talked about how it has the speedrunning built in.
Yeah, and that's one where it is just about being better at the game. Like, there is still the knowledge that you have to have about the boons, but that one is literally just you have to get good, and that's pretty much it.
Or Pokemon, I feel like, wouldn't be that way. It would just be like, there's get good to it, but there's just like, it's just a lot of it's just like execution of something that isn't like super like reaction based. Like, you could be an old man, like a very, very old, aggressive person, like aggressively old, and be like, you could probably do the menuing on it pretty fairly. But like Hades is like, oh, you better be able to dodge good.
Yeah. Yeah, no, we have a few different ideas, and we'll probably talk about it more over the coming weeks. I think that's going to be a majority of what we talk about in the podcast up through GDQ, because it's just kind of an experiment we're doing, just trying it out as... I don't know if you've tried speedrunning before. I'm definitely more of a first timer at this kind of thing.
Yeah, I had a friend who was really into two games specifically, Legend of Zelda: Ocarina of Time and Super Mario 64. And he had me like play them with him just so he could like show me all the stuff he was learning for it, and like some of the glitches he said were like really easy. He's like, here, just press these buttons at these times, and the glitches would work. He's like, yeah, that's how you just save some time. Like, one for Zelda was like duping bugs, I think. And that was really easy, and just like glitching through a certain thing or skipping a certain dialogue. Like in the Mario one for Super Mario 64, it was, I forget what it's called, but it's where Mario like back dashes, like he turns around and goes upstairs really fast.
Yeah,
he showed me like the, I forget what it's called, but like he showed me that one, and that's some like speedrunning techniques he showed me for that. Like, I don't remember how to do them, nor could I probably execute them still, but he showed me a few things for that. Then he's like, here, just try playing it fast, and I think I beat it within a few hours, because in Mario 64 you only needed like 50 stars, I think.
Yeah, I think those
are the closest I've got to it.
I think those are a couple of the more interesting ones. Ocarina of Time has always been a super interesting one to me, because that's one of the most prime examples of like the manipulation of like the actual hardware that was used. Like just like how you have to do certain menuing to overload like this memory at this point and stuff like that. Like that's, I think Super Mario has some of those too for Super Mario 64. If I'm not mistaken, but like it was a really cool thing where you get to see the results of messing with something over its capabilities and what that would do to it. Like, it's a physical representation of like how the numbers affect it whenever you push it over where a certain point.
Yeah.
Yeah. We'll talk about it some more over the coming weeks, and probably have a more concrete idea of what we're actually doing next week.
For sure. We just wanted to announce it because that'll be part of our format change.
Yeah. But have you been playing any new games recently?
New games. Emphasis on new. No.
Okay. I guess technically no for me too. I've been playing a game that's new to me, which is The Outer Worlds. Because I finally finished Elden Ring. I don't know if I mentioned that on podcast yet, but I finished Elden Ring. Which I know is like 9 months later than it should be, but I made it, and yay.
Yeah, congratulations.
Yeah, thanks. But yeah, the Outer Worlds, I've been playing it. It's been really fun. I was looking to play like a game like that, so I bought it on sale for the last sale, the autumn sale. One thing I've noticed that I really like about it so far is how they handle companions. They have like a party system, so you can bring like two people with you, and the companions have the usual party banter thing that they do. But what was really cool is the party banter is actually something that affects your conversations with them going forward, which isn't always the case. Like Dragon Age, for example, I think, or like Mass Effect, like any BioWare game gets held up as having good party banter. But usually, from what I recall, you didn't get any option to elaborate on the party banter when you talk to them in your hub. When you talk to a companion in the Outer Worlds after they've offered some information, sometimes there's like a thing where it's like, hey, you said this, what'd you mean by that? And I think that's really cool. It just adds a little bit more depth to the character. It makes you think that the things they're saying are things that they're actually saying and not just like random fodder to listen to.
Right. Like it feels like it's more like lively.
Yeah, more organic.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I've been having fun with it though. I guess another game I've been playing that I'm starting to get addicted to is Backpack Hero.
Yeah,
Backpack Hero is a inventory management roguelite that has been in early access, and I just found out about it recently and started playing it on itch.io. They have a demo on the browser for free. So I've been playing through that. It's very addicting and very fun. I enjoy it a lot. And there's a lot of kooky things you can do with your bag to get silly results. I had one run that I did actually last night where I ended up with a spike damage, which is basically like retaliation damage. When someone hits you, they take damage. And I got my spike damage so high that I actually beat the last boss with it. I took damage down to one health, but I just kept like stacking block and spikes, and it ended up doing like 200 damage at the end and killed him.
Oh, wow.
So yeah, I've been having a lot of, I actually, last night I was playing while we were playing games with our friends. You may remember that I seemed distracted at some point. It was probably because of that, honestly. I get very easily distracted, and that was one of the things that did it, because I just never shut it off. And I was like, oh, I can keep playing. We're not doing anything. And then I'd hear someone yell at me like, Chris, press ready.
Yeah, I get it. I remember now.
Yeah.
People who don't know Backpack Hero, it's like an indie game. I think I saw it a few months ago, back whenever it was like just popping up. And it's about like how you Tetris your inventory. Because your inventory is literally like all of the stuff you can do is based off of what's in your inventory and how you stack it and put it like one thing below something or above something. It'll influence what your damage and how you attack.
Yeah. That's pretty fun. I guess we can talk about the other game that we've been playing that you were alluding to that wasn't a new game. Would you like to tell us about that game?
Yeah, so an old game from long ago recently got a new private server, and it's Final Fantasy 11. And for some of you who don't know, Final Fantasy 11 was the first MMO Final Fantasy, not 14 that everybody thinks of when they think of the online Final Fantasy 11. And it's old. It's very old, but what attracted me to this new server, because there's tons of private servers, I'm sure, was that this one was based in a specific era of it, around 2006. There's a certain level cap to it, and they didn't want to just make the current retail version of Final Fantasy XI, which is still ongoing. They just wanted to make it so that it was similar to like World of Warcraft, where like here's WoW Classic, it's in the classic era. It was very similar to that. And I was just, there's some Final Fantasy XI people that I watch that have great nostalgia for it. And I didn't get to play it a whole lot. I did play it a little bit when I was young. Not a lot. I just had a friend who was into it. And I was just like, I want to try this again. It's free. Why not? And I got you to play with me.
Yeah, I'm always down to try MMOs. That's the thing. And even old ones are fine with me. And there are parts of it that would be attractive to me. So it made sense for me to just try it with you.
Yeah, yeah. Another reason I want to play is we haven't been playing any MMOs. Like we always have the option to play Final Fantasy 14, but I have a whole hesitancy over it for certain reasons I'm not going to get into today. Even though we have played it before and got through some expansions, but for 11, I was just like, I kind of want something that's also slow. Like I've actually had an itch to play RuneScape lately, but I don't want to play RuneScape.
Yeah.
So this was kind of scratching that itch for me because this is painfully slow.
Very painfully slow. There are a lot of similarities you can draw to RuneScape. Oddly enough.
Yeah, you would think the best similarity for this would have been like, it's very similar to like the original EverQuest, but it's in another way kind of similar to original WoW, but it's older than WoW. And there's reasons why it wasn't as popular as WoW, though.
That doesn't make any sense, because WoW was the first MMO.
That's it, sure. And I don't know how to explain it. It's got all the attributes that like EverQuest and WoW have, where it's still like an open world game and everything, and you are fighting in real time, but it doesn't have all of the quality of life things that even classic WoW has.
Yeah.
I don't even know where to start. Like the when you first get into it, like doing movement and moving the camera is horrific. Because first off, the UI, literally you look at it and it's barren.
You cannot see it.
there is no, the only thing you have in your UI is your health in the bottom right. And then the top right, I don't know what that is.
Yeah, I don't know what that is either. But it's not visible, much like your health.
Yeah, is it the resolution? The like lettering is really bad on it. I don't know if it's because it's just how old it is or we're not just getting it right, but it's not legible.
Yeah, like it's definitely something to do with like how they handle the resolution in the game. But it's just one of those things where it's like pre-accessibility times before people thought about like, hey, what if someone was like maybe like a little bit blind or like maybe a little less likely to see small things.
Yeah.
We have those.
Would you like to know what the top right is?
Please tell me.
Network status.
Excellent. I definitely got that.
That's just showing. It's like the latency thingy that WoW used to have, where the like little computer icon would be like green, or if you were lagging, it would turn red.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's that.
Yeah. One thing that I think is a recurring theme for everything we're going to talk about with this game is that it makes you grateful for the progress we've made in gaming.
Yeah, that's the main thing it's doing, where we'll just be playing it and being like, so in WoW, you can drag abilities onto a bar, like even classic WoW. There's no bar. There's something like it, but for the most part, you're going into a menu that you have to bring up that's not usually like on anywhere. You have to press like a button. If you're like, this game was originally played on PlayStation 2 with a controller, and it was on PC, but for the most part, like even the Japanese players use a controller. And like you press like the button and it'll bring up like magic and stuff or abilities. And it's just like, it's not immediately apparent that like those are like meant like folders that you'd go into to like pick like an attack.
Yeah, the menuing is similar to how you would expect a Final Fantasy game to have menus. The difference being that in other Final Fantasy games, you wouldn't have to focus on movement or anything like that, or targeting even the way that you do in an MMO setting.
Yeah, like if I was just like, first you like, whenever you're just like, and WoW, you just can pretty much like click on, like you're playing with mouse keyboard, you click on the thing, and then you could like right click it, right? And you can be auto attacking.
Right.
In this, you have to like first, like, the equivalent of, like, a tab target, but not really, because you can't tab to targets, I don't believe. You have to, like, get the target going and then press auto attack. It's so clunky.
You have to select the target, which you talked about on a controller for a mouse. You click them, which sometimes works. You click them, and then a menu will open up in which you can choose the attack function and then, like, confirm it, and then you'll start the auto attack. And then you still have to get near them to auto attack. From there, if you'd like to use any abilities, you'll have to open a separate menu to go into your abilities, choose which kind of ability, choose which ability in those ability types, and then confirm the target, which if you happen to be targeting, say, an enemy, and you're, say, a white mage who wants to heal someone, then you have to also switch targets to the person who will be receiving the heal, and then you have to confirm. And then you will start casting, and then maybe it works. I still don't understand why it doesn't work when it doesn't work. I have not figured that out because the combat log is too small to read.
it's rough.
But like you said, it scratches a similar itch to RuneScape. One of the reasons I think that is because a lot of it seems to be just farming up skills. So you have all this big list of skills and everything's available to you. You can switch jobs whenever you want by going to your residential area, which anytime you pass through a build, like an area, like a loading area, you have the 50-50 chance of just ending up at a housing area. So
we roamed around, and then we were like, oh, this is the right way to go. And then before we knew it, we're like, oh, okay, this is our housing. And then we went roamed around again. We're like, oh, we got lost. And then we were like, this must be the way. We went into it. We're like, this should be the next day, this next map of the city. No, we were back at our house again with the Moogle.
Yeah.
It was crazy. Did you dream about the Moogle?
No, thank God. But yeah, like, aside from that, you have, like, your weapon skills to farm up. One of the quests is literally go level up your weapon skill. So you're just spending a lot of time. Most of your time is going to be spent hitting and farming up things, like your weapon skills or your magic skills. Or otherwise, you're also leveling up your whatever your crafting skills you have and stuff like that. And it is very much like a farming simulator. It's something like RuneScape, where the goal will be to just level up your stuff. There are quests to do, obviously. I'm a little confused on how to access those quests most of the time. It seems like you kind of just got to talk to people until you find something.
Yeah, finding a quest is almost like finding a side quest in, like, WoW, where you're like, I didn't know that's where I was supposed to go. Like, we didn't even know we were done with the main quest at one point.
Yeah. He made it, the main quest giver, when we ended the final quest, made it sound like he gave us another quest to, like, go level up more. And so we were confused because we were already at the level he wanted, and he wasn't doing anything else for us. But another thing that makes it hard to find a quest is it's not like finding a side quest in WoW necessarily, because side quests in WoW still have an exclamation point over their heads. And that's not a luxury we were afforded in this game.
No, there's not none of that.
Yeah.
The closest you get is you press, for me, like, I press X, press over on the D-pad, like, right, and a quest is right there. But there's also missions too, which are a separate thing.
Yeah. I'm still having fun with it so far. Like, there's still stuff I want to mess around with. It still intrigues me to where I'm like, hey, I wonder how this works. Let me go try it.
Yeah, like you want to apply your knowledge, your mastery over our, like, MMOs to, like, this, and just be like, how does this compare? How does this work? Like, what? Like, a lot of it is like, I want to test out a class, and this game has multi-classing or dual classing, where, like, you have a primate class and it's subclass. They'll kind of have some things that work together, and in most cases they don't, but that's an interesting aspect of this game that other games like WoW don't have.
Yeah. I think it is possible for us to say that it's fun while also just complaining about how old and how old it is and how old it shows.
Yeah, I'm having more fun than I thought I would, because I've played a lot of like Japanese MMOs that were like just like, I don't know what the right word for it, but like not a AAA, like where this is technically AAA. It's made by Square Enix and everything, but this is just old. It's 20 years old, I think. Maybe a little older. I think maybe 20. But like there's a charm to it. And it's scratching an itch, and I find myself lately like turning it on at night whenever the servers are up to just like grind. Like when I say grind, I mean I'm just attacking one enemy and then like watching a YouTube video, and I've been falling asleep to just playing the game because there's not much to it.
Right.
And I don't know why I'm enjoying it. Like I don't technically have nostalgia for it. Like I've played every Final Fantasy game except like one or two of them, and like obviously I've nostalgia for Final Fantasy, but like I shouldn't have nostalgia for this. And to some extent, I think it's scratching my nostalgia itch for MMOs.
Yeah, especially for older MMOs where it's a lot of grinding and stuff like that. It's a lot more granular in the grinding as opposed to having like a more weekly daily mindset of like how WoW does now, where it's time gated and you just, okay, log in, do the things you have to do for the day, do the one thing you have to do for the week, and then you're good. It's not like that with the older MMOs. It's more granular. It's more, I need to go kill 100 things so I can level up my club stat or whatever.
Yeah, WoW doesn't, like classic WoW had that where you had like weapon leveling, which affected like your accuracy.
Yeah, and you had to go kill like 100 satyr if you wanted to go find some fel cloth, you know.
Yeah. And this game is similar to that. Like we found out that like we killed a lot of things, right?
Yeah.
But we didn't have any money. You're like, what do we do for money?
It's really weird not having a bee drop money. Like, what is that about?
Yeah, yeah. And then I went and I swapped my class to a thief. And I was like, what if I just start like stealing? Which by stealing, I mean, I was using the steal ability, which is on a 5-minute cooldown, and just trying it on random mobs. And then like one mob gave me like honey, and I was like, oh, I could sell this at the auction house. Crazy. And then I found another mob, which was more humanoid in nature, that just dropped money. And I was like, oh, Gil, money. And I was like, I can finally go buy like a new weapon so I could try out a different class. And for the most part, like I started with a sword. I could probably play that, use that in most classes. Went and, like, I bought a dagger and I was like, yeah, I can level this skill and get that an ability for that. And it was just, I felt dumb. Like I knew, I'm a boomer MMO player, which just means I've played a lot of MMOs. This whole thing just felt ass backwards.
Yeah, and it's also harder to look up information on something older like that, especially like when even the current information that you can look up often it has mixed in with like the newer parts of the game that aren't applicable to this iteration of the game.
Yeah, and even worse yet, if you look up Final Fantasy, you're gonna an online one, you'll just get 14 sometimes, which is a completely different game.
Yeah,
which doesn't help literally at all. At least with like getting an updated version of him, like it kind of maybe might help, but 14 won't help at all. It's just like, okay, that's annoying. I don't know what else we can say. Like this game did, like I remember whenever I was a kid, I was probably like 12 or something, this game like super relied on you being in a party to do anything. Now there is like soloing and stuff in this game, but like just us like grouping up together and just fighting some stuff while you like healed and still bonked things with a staff, like we still were getting hit sometimes and getting hurt, and it felt like we needed some teamwork, where like I feel like in a lot of like modern things we play, like it doesn't even feel like we need to work together.
Yeah, not really. There was like some fun parts where, you know, you would suddenly get hit and I'd be like, oh, I actually have to heal you now, and I had to figure out how to do that.
Yeah, you have to target me somehow. you're like, oh, geez, here we go again. And like, there's a time whenever you were fighting something, and I literally could not target the thing you were targeting. I was like tabbing through everything, and it was just like, I was just like, please, just target the right thing.
See, and that happened to me, but like, I used a mouse. So like, it was even like not possible for me to target things sometimes, even with a mouse where I can just click the thing theoretically.
Yeah, and that should just work, but it wasn't.
Yeah.
I don't know how much you plan to play it, but like, this has just been fun. It's been fun to just chill and play this.
And I think I would like to get to one of the restricted classes that you need to, I think you have to do a quest line to get them.
Yeah, you get to like level 30 and then you do a quest for it.
Yeah, it's a little ways away, so we'll see if I can get there. Before I'm like, maybe I should just go play an MMO that is easier to read.
Yeah, which this game does make me want to play 14, because there are a lot of aspects of this game that 14 like took from, or the original iteration of 14 was just this game, but updated originally, and that's why the original iteration of 14 failed. They actually had to redo it. That's why why it's called Realm Reborn. It's because it failed.
Yeah, I think 14 is one that's been coming up in our friend group even a lot, where it feels like we're just going to give it a try again soon.
Yeah. Which, there's nothing wrong with 14, it's mostly just me being hesitant, and
yeah.
It's hard to explain, but if you've ever had a friend that's killed your enjoyment of something, that's the only way I can explain it.
Yeah.
I don't want that to happen to me, where that's 14 is still a thing I look forward to, where I don't want my friend to do that to me.
Yeah, there's not much else to say about it. I think we'll probably be playing at least a little bit more, so we'll probably have more to say about it next week if we find anything interesting in there, which I'm sure there is. Boy, howdy, I'm always surprised at what pops up in that game. But
yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, upcoming games we can mention, but like, there's not really much. I think that's the case because it's the end of the year. Most of the big releases came out in November, and I think that's pretty common between like August, November for like most of the major games to come out. So I even looked for Steam for like some of the like indie games or just random upcoming games, and even those, there's not really anything coming out in the next week or so, except maybe some like porn games.
So many porn games.
Yeah, everywhere. The only thing I found really of note is Valkyrie Profile, Lenith. This comes out on the 22nd. It's a remake of the same name game on PSP from like 2016, I think. It's going to be on the PlayStation. On PS4, PS5.
Okay. PlayStation 1?
Yeah. You know, I'm sure someone will demake it if they really care enough.
Yeah, they'd have to love it to do that.
Yeah, that's gonna do it for us. Hopefully, people like our new little format that we're doing here. I imagine that a lot of this will be like shorter as we fine-tune things and we start focusing on a topic. Especially if we're talking about like speedrunning and stuff like that for the next month, I'm sure that we'll have a shorter podcast for that.
Yeah, absolutely.
So with that in mind, thank you all for listening. We will see you next week. And obviously in the meantime, happy holidays, Merry Christmas and what have you.
Mm-hmm.
But until then, thanks for listening, and don't forget to do your dailies
and your weeklies.